Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, Donk.
Captain Hawk.
Jay Cutler's going to be like 38 years old. You know what? No. I still think he's got it in him. That is like meeting a woman. Hey, tell me about yourself.
With the analogy.
And she's got beautiful body.
She does have a nice big old behind.
Phenomenally well endowed.
No, it's not.
She has got a tremendous set of boobs. Oh, perfect.
Great hair.
No,
beautiful teeth. She seems really nice. Yeah, I've been married 4 times, though. All 4 of those husbands died. Do you want to be the dead 5th husband?
No! You don't get to touch me, ever.
That's not Martellus Bennett.
You spend a night where you go, you got talents I didn't even know a woman could have. But guess what? At the end of the day, I don't want to wake up knifed in the back as a carcass on the side of the road.
Would you stop with the carcass? Would you stop with the hot women analogy? All this
stuff. It all fits.
It doesn't all fit. It doesn't.
Meet this beautiful woman. She's great. Well, what's the problem with her? I don't know. She's going on her 5th husband. 4 of them are dead.
I killed those men in first-degree murder.
Did they make a Lifetime movie about that?
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Hawk Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. Welcome in. Cap'n Hawk on the air on Comcast Sportsnet, WGNplus.com. Alongside lead columnist for the Tribune, he is David Hawk. I'm David Kaplan. Brooke Weisbrod has our updates throughout the day. Mike Jacobson is our great executive producer. Matthew Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Nistel is our great director. What's up, buddy? Good morning.
Morning, Cap. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Happy Friday morning. It is Friday. Looks like it's been a long week.
Nice.
Nice. No games necessarily to watch last night. Some interest tonight in seeing how the Blackhawks recover and respond to their mini slump. Got a couple teams in mini slumps right now. Wrote about the Bulls this morning. What's wrong with them?
Who are those guys? They need to make a trade.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Tom Thibodeau's role in all this. We'll talk about a lot of things. We'll get to some baseball nuggets. More James Shields discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the NFL draft coming to Chicago. Nice front page story in the Chicago Tribune. Front page of the entire paper. Jared Hopkins takes a look at everything the NFL has asked the city to do to stage the NFL draft. And the list is a long one. I think that's to be expected. But it's probably not going to be embraced by everybody when they realize that there's, oh, that street's closed again, still? How long are they here? But it's all part of welcoming the draft and doing business with the NFL. If you think this is bad, imagine if they would have hosted the Super Bowl.
Right, which will never happen.
Just came back from Phoenix. Found a nice deli downtown.
In Phoenix?
A New York deli in downtown Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah. Had lunch there last week.
It's got to be new because I was in Phoenix last spring for spring training. I stayed in downtown Phoenix.
It's not new. It's been there 35 years. I have to remember the name of it.
Never
they were talking
it.
About how long they had been there. And part of the conversation veered toward, boy, have you noticed all the businesses around here that have closed at certain times? The restaurants, because of the fees they had to pay the NFL, they were unwilling to, you know, basically do business with the league. I didn't look into it that much after that. But
I mean, the NFL charges the restaurants that are down there?
I think they charged a fee to do business basically, because they. I don't know the extent of that, but it does. It is reflective of the fact when the NFL comes to your city to stage an event, it's not just they're not just going to smile and say thank you for having us. They're going to charge you.
How about that?
How about that? But anyway, we'll get to that a little bit. Also, you know, we're going to talk about this Brandon Marshall thing. Because this is a guy that has a way and a knack of keeping himself in the news. So yesterday, Inside NFL, did it air yesterday or did it air 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
2 days ago, Inside the NFL on
Final
Showtime,
episode of the season.
He was asked about wanting to return and whether or not John Fox would let him participate the way that Mark Trestman did, because he's interested in doing that. And this is what his answer was. It was a very interesting, as you would imagine, this is a very charismatic TV personality.
Hey, listen, Brandon, want to know if we can drop a note to John Fox about you joining us again next season, because you look like you had some fun this year.
I had a great time. You know, what was pretty cool was I actually interviewed Coach John Harbaugh, and I said, if I played for you, would you let me do Inside the NFL? And he said, oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I was taking a lot of heat for doing the show. But when you're the first in the space to do something like this, you're going to get a lot of pushback. And we had the worst year possible with me also doing this. So, you know, next year will be a better year for us. And I'm looking forward to the challenge, and I'm also looking forward to the opportunity.
Well, he's right about this. He's a very good analyst. It was the worst year possible for the Bears.
It was.
Pretty
brutal.
Much. So, laughs, jokes, funny stuff, harmless stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Baltimore Ravens website takes off on this whole, I asked John Harbaugh if I could do that if he were my coach, and they post a story on their website at Ravens, BaltimoreRavens.com, and it leaves the impression that, hey, this is a funny thing. My question is this, and maybe this is overreacting to it. Isn't that tampering?
No.
It is, too.
The NFL just issued a statement on it.
Did they?
Yes. What? The NFL update. This is on NFL.com.
Okay.
For those wondering, league spokesman says the exchange between Harbaugh and Marshall would not fall under the league's rules regarding tampering.
Where's that statement?
NFL.com.
I'm not talking about the interaction between Marshall and Harbaugh. I'm talking about the Ravens organization promoting the idea on their website that the player could be a Raven one day and work for inside the NFL.
Yeah, they were all joking around.
Okay.
If they want him, they can have him, man.
You think that, don't you remember that the day that Brandon Marshall made the statement, everything I say is strategic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I say is strategic. You think that was accidental? Come on. This guy knows that his spot in Chicago
is not as comfortable as it once was.
It's not guaranteed.
Right.
So this is already maybe reading too much into it, but somebody that's making the political play. I don't know. Maybe that's too much. But I wouldn't put it past anybody. What are the Ravens doing then? Just having fun?
It's a funny exchange.
Oh, come on. If it were your favorite player, if you cared about whether or not he was here or not.
But him bringing that up again on the show kind of says something too, doesn't it?
It's a direct shot at a handful of people, one being the man to my right who criticized him for doing it.
Not a direct shot at me.
Not you per se, but his critics.
Oh, I actually didn't.
The Penn and Mike Club of football writers.
I actually did not criticize Brandon Marshall for doing Inside the NFL. I did not. If you go back and read what I wrote and what we talked about on this show, I wasn't necessarily critical of that because I said as long as he was productive, he's earned the right to use his off day however he wants. Rick Morrissey was very strong against it.
Is that what you said?
Earlier?
Morrissey, I drilled on TV for.
Morrissey,
I had no problem with him doing it.
Well, look, I don't think I did either initially. I think as the season went on, you started to see that whether it was because I don't know that his problems were related to him being gone on Tuesday. I really don't know that that was related to him being a distraction. But if I'm John Fox and I'm looking at my roster and I'm starting over, I'm an old school coach. I think conservative is accurate way to describe John Fox. I'm probably not going to be interested in having my number one wide receiver, number 1A or 2 in New York on Tuesdays. Not a guy that needs to be taking care of his body, not a guy with a track record for being an abstraction, and somebody that I don't know all that well yet. I'd say, Brandon, you're great at TV. This is a big market. It's the NFL's second largest market. Find a niche here. Find a niche where you can take a cab, not a plane, and stay in town.
But let me ask you a question. If I was a star of the Bears, I'm the star quarterback. Tuesday's our off day. I don't need any medical treatment. I'm healthy. I got up that morning. I'm making huge money. I got Jay's contract. And I took a private jet to go play golf in late September for the day. Got on a private jet, came back, got a little dinner with my wife, Kristen, and went to bed and got up. And I was at practice ready to go on Wednesday. And you had no idea where I was at. Would you care?
Leadership is all about optics, too. You have to worry about perception.
Wait a minute. Mark that. I got to use that one.
Okay.
Leadership is all about optics, too.
Yeah. It matters.
That's pretty good.
How things look to the people around you that you're trying to lead. And if you're the quarterback of the Bears, if you're the star, if you're a star at the Bears, you are responsible for more than just yourself. You're responsible for setting a tone, for providing an example. Lance Briggs didn't miss more than 20 minutes of work on the first Monday of the football season when he flew away, skipped practice, and went with the coach's blessing to open his rib joint in Sacramento. But it was symbolically terrible for that team because it said to everyone else in that locker room, I care about myself more than I care about you. I care about my business more than I care about my profession. That's a problem. So when you have somebody making that decision that puts something personal ahead of their job, I would think that it would be a problem, especially for a first-year head coach trying to establish an environment of accountability.
Okay, and what if he says to you, you're John Fox.
Yeah.
I'm Brandon.
Hey, what's up, Brandon? Foxy, call me Foxy.
Coach, good to see you, Foxy. Hey, man, I'm just letting you know my agent and I are working out a deal.
Have you seen Tebow lately? I miss him.
I'm doing Showtime again next year, just letting you know.
We'll have to talk about that.
Coach, actually, that's really not anything we have to talk about. I'll play my you-know-what off for you. That's my off day. I can do what I want.
That's not your off day. You belong to us. We have rules, and you'll adhere to them.
Coach, that's not going to work because it is my off day. I'm going where I want to go. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Trade me, release me, but pay me my money.
Good luck in Baltimore.
Done?
Basically.
That might be how it goes.
You can't have concessions. If you're a coach trying to establish this environment of accountability.
Then you get rid of the player. I don't think you can tell him he can't do it. You can call Showtime and go, hey, man, it's an inside the NFL. We're asking you not to use our guy. He might bitch and complain at that. But if you tell him you got an offer and we're not letting you do it, he may tell you go pound sand. Not going to happen.
Then he can pound sand as an inactive player every Sunday until he adheres to your rule.
I don't think that would work. Not with Brandon. 312-235-2525. We'll talk to you. 312-235-2525. Cap'n Haw, be right back.
Now, more Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+.
So, listen. I love coming to the NFL Honors. No, I don't, because I'm never nominated for anything.
But unfortunately, you play for the Bears.
Oh, man.
No.
All right, we continue the Brandon Marshall stuff as we're debating that and a whole lot more. Cap'n Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGNplus.com.
Yeah,
a lot of feedback on our Cutler stuff yesterday.
In what way? A positive agreeing with you or...
Both. Some, don't agree and some do agree.
In terms of bringing him back or not?
Correct.
Yeah, I'll be glad when they make that decision so we can stop speculating, because we have another month of speculation until they make a decision. And I don't think that probably is, they're going to wait until they evaluate everybody. And they're in the process of doing that now. Bears yesterday signed a running backs coach from Ohio State, Stan Drayton, which he's leaving the national championship team and winners and joining the Bears staff. So they did make some moves yesterday. Brandon Marshall thing, I don't want to beat it. The NFL said there's no tampering. That's fine. This will be an ongoing thing as long as they let it. We talked about the money yesterday. Brad Biggs laid that out. The Bears have, to me, being consistent, I don't think that they have the luxury of making Brandon Marshall their number one priority this offseason, what to do with him. Jay Cutler, I just think they have to know what they're going to do, what the plan is defensively, what scheme, what players are going to stay, what are going to fit. You fix your defense, and all of a sudden your offensive issues aren't as threatening, aren't as bad. I think the defense is a bigger problem. Jay Cutler's something you have to address, gets the most attention. Brandon Marshall makes a lot of news. He's in the news a lot because of his personality, but I think your defensive issues are your biggest ones.
You don't think that fixing your offensive line is imperative?
Yeah, it's imperative, but I think the defensive is You know, defensive problems are bigger. What do you think about this draft stuff? Does it bother you from as somebody that works in Chicago, somebody that you think people in Chicago are bothered by some of the concessions that the NFL they're asking the city to make? Among the NFL requests, according to the Chicago Tribune this morning, Jared Hopkins' investigation or study of the documents, according to the public records request, cordoning off stretches of road around Grant Park and Congress Plaza, including a key stretch of Congress Parkway between Michigan Avenue and Wabash, for nearly 3 weeks. Free use of the auditorium theater and other spaces owned by the Roosevelt University for 3 weeks, free Wi-Fi, etc., free parking for NFL staff, free parking at draft venues, creation and enforcement of a clean zone city ordinance, city resources to help keep unofficial advertising away from the made-for-TV event, outdoor space, police escorts, and also commitments from 13 hotels to reserve rooms for prospective players, NFL staff, and others.
Yeah, promotional material. Did you say that part?
Yeah.
$4 million.
Is there anything in there that I said that really strikes you as excessive?
No. It's a chance. Look, the NFL has its issues. They do. They had a rough year. But there is no doubt. You had 114 million people watching the Super Bowl. That draft is a huge event, and it showcases what I think is the greatest city in the world.
50 million people, I think, watched the draft last year.
It's a great marketing tool. We won't make money, per se, except people going to bars, restaurants.
What's that value? What's the value of prestige? I think that's always a question that you ask.
For people to look and see the lakefront and all the great shots, because I'm sure the mayor said to them, yeah, I'll give you all this stuff. You're going to make sure you portray our city in a great light. We're going to get shots of the lakefront and the harbor and Wrigley and U.S.
Yeah, so what guarantees are there? That's what I would want to know. If we're going to give you all this stuff, how are we going to know you're going to promote Chicago? Because that sure sounds like a lot to ask for.
Does that bother you? As somebody lives in the city.
Does.
Well, Jared missed the other side of the story.
What's the other side of the story?
What exactly what she just said. What is the NFL guaranteeing Chicago? Besides the fact that Jameis is going to walk up there as the number one pick or whatever.
Yeah, I think that the NFL said that they don't disclose costs related to the draft. They don't release any information
as far as what they
will make. And I think the question answers itself, though. What is it for Chicago? Cap, you just answered it. I mean, it's a 3-day, 4-day commercial for the city.
That's the thing. If you're sitting at home, you're not David Haw the writer. You're David Haw the Allstate insurance guy.
Yeah.
You're sitting at home with your son Blair. He's a huge NFL guy. And you're living in, pick a spot. You're in Lincoln, Nebraska. And you're watching the draft. And he goes, Dad, that city looks really cool. Can we go there this summer for a weekend, a vacation, whatever? If you show our city in the right light, from the foods to the beautiful weather at that time of year, it should be starting to get nice.
It's April?
May.
May.
April.
April 3rd.
May. It's going to snow. It's going to snow.
I'm not feeling
it's
real
snowing.
Confident.
You know it's snowing.
I disagree. Yeah.
It could snow.
It'll be nice.
But here's the thing, Gabe. You're not really worried about the insurance guy watching with the sun in Lincoln, Nebraska. I think you're trying to illustrate that the city can host a convention, a big event, other conventions can come to town, and you can do it right because you are a world-class city run by a mayor who knows how to get things done. I think there's value there. The prestige is hard to measure. And I don't want to be a hypocrite here. And that's why I sort of mixed feelings about this whole thing, because back a year ago, after I had an interview, it was right after the Super Bowl. It was about a year ago this week. Sat in Mayor Emanuel's office, and he expressed, to what I remember, first time that really he wanted the NFL draft in Chicago. And why? And what it meant from a prestige standpoint, why Chicago makes sense, the charter franchise, all those things that really are intangible, that mean nothing to people who aren't sports fans. This is a big gamble. Not a big gamble. This is assuming that 7 out of 10 Chicagoans care about the NFL draft, probably, right? A high percentage.
No way that many.
How many do you think?
7 out of 10?
6 out of 10.
No shot.
5 out of 10. What is the percentage of people who care about the NFL draft? If it's less than 50, then you are rolling the dice here, because you're asking the city to basically, a section of the city, to stand still for 3 weeks.
Block I would say it's probably 30%.
Is it worth it then?
Yes, because of the...
We say that. We host a talk show. I write a column. You host a TV show. We are sports guys. So we're obviously... I was out front,
you know, our
promoting
wheelhouse.
This idea, pushing the league to say, hey, Chicago's ready. Come on down. I love the idea of the NFL draft in Chicago. I think it's great from a sports perspective. I think it's great from a city perspective. I'm in the sports industry, though. If I were having my life disrupted by this, I would think, what? This is a giant party for a bunch of 21-year-old amateurs who aren't even professional players yet? What's all the fuss?
Okay, I was talking to my friend Lisa Starr the other day. Lisa, she watches the show. She said, I'm not the biggest sports fan. I just enjoy the interaction between us on the show. She said, it makes me laugh. Brooke makes her laugh. She likes the whole deal. She meant it as a compliment.
That didn't sound like a compliment, Brooke.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, I took it as a compliment.
She enjoys the give and take and the back and forth.
Yeah.
She's like, when I sat down to watch the Super Bowl with my family, she goes, I knew who was playing, but it's basically I found out who was playing when I sat down on the couch. She goes, I'm overstating it, but she's not locked in every day because she's got a job and a family and other stuff. She's not watching the draft. She could care less about the draft being here.
I'm married to somebody very similar to that.
My wife could care less about the draft being here.
If her life is disrupted at all by the draft, she'll complain about how her life is disrupted and won't care about the prestige it brings Chicago.
So 30% might care. Might be 30.
You have to make a decision, though, in what's in the best interest in your mind. You're the mayor.
Of the city.
Of the city.
Agreed.
So I'm a little bit mixed. I respect the kind of inconvenience that it might pose people. I respect the fact that some people might feel like it's excessive. But once you go down this road with the NFL, you have to know where it leads. And where it leads is that the NFL gets things done by asking, by demanding
as the word.
Certain things.
You want it?
In their
Here's what you will do.
It's a $9 billion enterprise for a reason. It's wildly popular, and they know how to make a deal.
Hey, 9:55 on our show today. Todd Hollinsworth at Hollytown 28 will be with us. Talks baseball. KC Johnson at KCJ Hoop 1025. JR, Jeremy Roenick, will join us to talk some hockey. And we have got coming up on CSN later tonight. Sports Talk Live continues at 5. It's TV Week wrapping up with Lou Kanellis, Evan Fitzgerald, and Corey McFerrin from Fox 32. High School Lights tonight at 11. Hawks Jets pregame coverage with Patrick Boyle begins at 6:30. By the way, Pat gave me his Mount Rushmore of the athletes you said you'd want to watch and listen to after. I got to read those.
Okay.
And Hockey City Classic tomorrow at Soldier Field on CSN Plus at 3. Game 2, they'll show Western Michigan, Miami of Ohio.
I want to talk about the Bulls when we get back, but did you say Corey McFerrin is going to be on your Sports Talk Live tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to fall asleep halfway through. Doesn't he get up at like 3 in the morning
to do
his show? I know, and he's getting up there now.
Exceptionally old.
And he's a Butler guy, kind of getting up. I worry about him staying awake throughout
the
entire show.
He's the only guy who's like 69 years old that has his hair jet black still. Don't know how that happens.
He's very youthful.
Very youthful. Take a time out. What?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at, Missy?
So critical sometimes.
Just having
some
fun.
Some people just have it like that.
That's it.
Give it to the man.
312. Some of us have no hair. 312-235-2525. Be right back.
This is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Bill, welcome to the show. What's going on there, Sugar Bear?
Morning, Bear.
Bill?
Bill Bear? Billy Bear?
I don't know where that came from. Hey, Bill. I do know, but I'll tell you later.
All right.
thanks a lot, Mike.
There you go, Mike.
Good job, Mike. How's it
going? Welcome back. The Kevin Haw Show rolls on.
Oh, boy.
The Comcast Sports Net. D. Hall will be writing later today. It'll be in your Sunday Chicago Tribune, which is the best way to start the morning. I get up like 6:15, 6:30 on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I got bowling league at 8:30, man.
That's early.
And get up. I get my coffee.
Wake up. I'm not getting up.
Yoshi stays in bed with my wife. Rocky comes down with me. I'm on the couch. He has a little bowl of water. I have a little cup of coffee, and I read my Tribune.
Yoshi, did you name your dog after Yosh? Kawano?
No. Nope. Studley, who still breaks my heart, passed away December 29th. Studley, I named. Rocky, my wife and I bought right when we got back from Philly for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we named, she came up with the name. Let's call him Rocky. So we named him Rocky. He's a big yellow lab.
Works.
And then we were at the Wolves game, and I had to drop the puck, like a charity drop the puck thing. And I have a special needs son, Brett, you know. I brought Brett out on the ice and let him drop the puck with me. They had a cruelty society. Is that what it's called?
Anti-cruelty society. You belong to the cruelty society.
Lovey Smith.
That's a different place.
The anti-cruelty society, they had a dog up on the Jumbotron in the Allstate Arena, the scoreboard. And Brett goes, can we go see that dog? So we go over there, and there's, you know, hundreds of people looking at dogs. People are adopting dogs. And this dog, Thunder, does not stop barking. You could hear him in the arena. That's how much he's barking. Can we get that dog? I said, we have two dogs, and Mindy would kill me if I brought that dog home. Dog doesn't stop barking. We go back to the seats. We go back to, he wants to see the dogs again, middle of the third period. We go back, and there's this little tiny black dog. Do you know, does your dogs lick you at all?
No.
Okay. The other two, Rocky and Studley, would always give you a kiss.
Well, I mean, they do that. They will do that if I let them.
Right. Yeah. You're like,
I'm not a
one and done right here. This
Yoshi, like, Studley and Rocky always did that.
That's a personal question.
Studley and Rocky always did that. Yoshi, that's just not his thing. He doesn't do that.
Uh huh.
And Brett picks him up. He could fit him in his pocket. Picks him up, and he starts kissing Brett's face. Can I have this dog, Dad? I said, I told you we're not getting a third dog. We're leaving. I literally turn to the guy and go, game's almost over. What are you going to do with this dog?
You caved?
Oh, yeah. I said, what are you going to do with this dog if nobody adopts him in the next, like, 6 minutes? He goes, he's getting put down tomorrow. I said, you're going to kill this little dog?
Wow.
He's like, dude, I get 40,000 strays a year. What would you like me to do with him?
I don't know if I can hear the rest of this.
So I said, hold on a second. I took my iPhone. I took a picture of the dog.
This has morphed into a PSA.
Texted it to my wife. I said, they're going to kill this dog tomorrow. Can I bring him home?
God.
And she said, we've got two. What's one more? So we signed the papers. They had to talk to my wife to make sure she would approve. Going back to the house, they had to have both parties' consent. We get in the car. I go, Brett, what should we name that dog? He loves Super Mario Brothers. He goes, Yoshi. So we walked in the house. He goes, Mindy, can I name the dog? She's like, well, it depends what you name it. Yoshi. His brothers go, that's a great name. Done.
There you go.
So that's how we got our third dog.
One dog.
Good story.
I said one dog, safe from peril.
That's it.
My story about why my dog is named Bear and why I used Bear yesterday isn't quite that exciting. But
because you're a Bear fan.
Exactly. That's it. No. Golden Retriever Rescue. And that was the name he came with.
Oh, you got a dog with already a name on it.
Yeah. That's the
How
way
How old was he when you
works.
Got him?
Old enough to have formed some really bad habits. So, about two.
Oh, speaking of, you talked about counter jumping yesterday.
Yes. Surfing.
How about mine pulls the half and half off the counter that I left out anyway, so I would have thrown it away. But now there was... There's liquid in there. Why do you even want that?
Oh, because it smells good.
Sweet.
I'm sure. Yeah, it smells good.
What's your other dog's name?
Ashton. Another Golden Retriever Rescue previously named dog.
Off a
Cap, yeah, you don't get a dog and you say, okay, we're going to take this foster dog, but you know what? The name's got to go. Come on.
What kind of dog is that one?
It's a Husky Golden Mix.
What's your dog's Wilson?
Willis. I wanted like an old man name, so it was Willis or Benson.
Girl McKenzie at Comcast has Wilson.
Okay, I like Wilson too. Yeah.
All right. After the town.
Before we start comparing food choices, let's get to the phone lines.
Let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. So if you can save a dog, do us a favor, save a dog. Right, Sarah Lauk. Dominic in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Dominic, welcome. Good morning, bud.
Good morning. Is this Cap?
Hey, Dominic.
This is Cap, and that's David Haw right there.
Good. I'm heading up right now to watch Illinois State play softball against University of South Florida and University of Jacksonville. My comment was, number one, the best thing the Cubs could do is sign James Shields because, number one, he's a bulldog, he's a competitor, and he'd be a leader for the clubhouse.
Maybe at the right price.
If they can get him at a bargain price, I think it's money well spent.
Well, you don't want to go with a 33-year-old pitcher beyond probably 3 years. And he may be looking for a longer deal than that. But he would be definitely a guy that fits in your rotation. You make room for a guy who has that kind of durability and track record. So thanks. That's a good idea. You have another comment, Dominic?
Yeah, I watch your guys' show every day on 762 here in Sarasota, Florida.
You're the best, Dominic.
Thanks, Dominic.
See you, buddy.
It. Drive safely.
How about that? He's got us on the WGN Plus app. Yeah. He watches us on TV.
Good luck fighting the crowd at the Illinois State softball game.
Sold out. Dominic, keep the rig on the road, buddy. 312-235-2525. Ed is in Antioch, Illinois. What's going on there, Sparky?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Ed.
Hey, here's my question or comment, whatever you want to call it. Okay, now that the Bears have a head coach who are going to, you know, who's going to run the ball, that's going to open up the pass, does it really make sense for the Bears to get rid of the best wide receiver we possibly have ever had? I mean, isn't that going to make our offense much, much better now that he's going to run the ball and not throw it 700 times a game?
Oh, Ed, I think you're on something. I'm not advocating getting rid of Brandon Marshall. I said yesterday that if I'm John Fox, I would find a way to sit both Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall down, talk to them, and appeal to them and say, I can make you better. And talent is at a premium at those positions, and you have two guys who are proven when they're coached well and in the right offense. So I definitely agree with you. I would keep Brandon Marshall.
Are you telling me that Trestman didn't do that?
Trestman didn't know how to lead. He was a good guy at scheming an offense, devising a game plan, but did not have the rest of the package as far as the head coach.
Who were Brandon's coaches in Miami? Sparano?
Tony Sparano. He had Mike Shanahan in Denver.
Okay, so none of these guys tried to reach him. You're thinking John Fox can do what no one else could do.
I don't know. Go ahead, Ed.
I was just going to say, you know, getting rid of a hundred catch guy is I don't know.
I know what you're saying. Like, thanks for the phone call. You're right. It sounds like.
But again, we get caught up in the numbers.
Yeah.
Julian Edelman was a quarterback, for crying out loud.
System guy.
Brandon LaFell, they took off of Carolina's team. Nobody thought he was that good. They got one great receiver, Gronk.
They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback who might be the best ever postseason quarterback.
Right.
That helps a lot when you have Julian Edelman making that transition from quarterback to wide receiver in the NFL. Brandon Marshall makes you more dangerous as an offense if you can help him manage the peripheral stuff.
I don't think you can. I think he is who he is. He pollutes your locker room.
He polluted your locker room in 2012. He was pretty productive. In 2013, he was pretty productive and pretty polluting. But, I mean, you know, it's a risk. But everything involved in rebuilding a team involves risk.
Take time out. Come back and get more of your calls. 312-235-2525. You are watching Cap and Haw. You're locked in to Comcast Sports Net and WGNplus.com. See you.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sports Net and WGN Plus.
Do your job.
Thanks, Thibs. Welcome back. Cap and Haw rolling on CSN. Yes, Cookie?
So about once a year, it seems as if that there's that time. And when I heard him say, do your job, I remembered back to, I think it was last November, a year ago November. And I went out there and the Bulls were scuffling a little bit. And I talked to Tom Thibodeau about what was going wrong in the next day in the paper. And I wrote a column basically saying, hey, you know, why are you doing this? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do this? Second-guessing Tom Thibodeau. Doesn't happen often in this town.
Right.
I mean,
Since he arrived.
And the headline was, do your job. And you too, Thibs, or something to that effect. Today was similar tone. Today was a similar time.
What was your headline
in the season.
Today?
Today was a really clever, creative front page in the Chicago Tribune. Double trouble.
And yeah. It says, Thibs can't escape share of the blame.
Yeah, because it plays off the both Hawks. Teams, Hawks struggling, haven't scored a goal in a week, and the Bulls on the verge of their fourth straight loss. Double trouble. You got the negative south-pointing bullhorns, and you have the Indian head sweating basically the fact that they haven't scored in a week. So the only purpose of this, Cap, is a couple things. Number one, is I wonder, as we spoke yesterday, as we talked yesterday, the effect that the inconsistent minutes that are doled out to guys like Nikola Mirotic, Tony Snell, those two in particular, have on their development. It's not a great place where young players go to develop. It doesn't seem like the Bulls have done that a lot. I think you look at a guy like Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler and you say, well, geez, what about those guys? Well, they were first-round draft picks. And Jimmy Butler bided his time and did develop very well into an all-star. It took some time. His minutes, I don't think that they were inconsistent as much as non-existent early. He didn't play. He was buried on the bench. As I pointed out, I wonder about Mirotic because here's a really talented player, a guy that just a month ago we were talking about Rookie of the Year, correct? And one game he'll play 12, he'll score 12 points. The next game, you know, he can't get off the bench. Tony Snell, two of his last three DNP coaches' decisions came after games that he started. I'm just asking the question, is this what's going on here? And is this contributing to an inconsistent bench or rotation when you have, you know,
undefined roles.
Really undefined roles.
Like you had in your column, Mirotic, I'm trying to remember so I don't have to look through. Mirotic played 2 minutes, two games later played 31.
Yeah. And I said that he speaks three languages but is still learning Thibodeau.
Correct.
Because this is a guy that still is feeling his way. And that, to some degree, is going to happen with rookies. Tony Snell's not a rookie anymore, but he's been inconsistent. And I ask this question, why does Kirk Heinrich ever start? You have to respect what he brings you. He's got a defensive presence you'll need in the postseason. Can he hit a big shot anymore? 9 field goals in his last 8 games. He's struggling right now.
He's in a bad slump.
Why is Doug McDermott stapled to the bench if he's healthy? And we think that he is. How much worse defensively can you get as a team that is on and off defensively? Doesn't he give you an option for perimeter shooting, for spacing, something to make your offense work better than it is now? Because right now, sometimes it's one pass and jumper. Derrick Rose settling for a three-pointer. It's just not fluid. It's not the Bulls that we're used to seeing. It's a try-hard team that doesn't always try hard. These are intangibles, right? It's not a talent deficit. This is maybe the most, you could make the argument, this is the most talented team that Tom Thibodeau has coached with the Bulls. So these are correctable, coachable flaws. But if you say that, you're questioning the coach. It always happens that way. When a professional team underachieves, it falls on the head coach's shoulders. Isn't that fair?
Yes.
We can't become a city of Van Gundy's.
You can't walk in and go getting rid of the whole team.
You can't.
It's not possible.
And you can't take the. We can't become a city of Van Gundy's and say it's all about the management and their fault.
You know I'm a huge Thibs guy, but you made a great point. Please explain to me. And aside, I'm reading from your column. Please explain how dysfunction between Bulls coach Phil Jackson and general manager Jerry Krause 17 years ago relates to how Bulls executives John Paxson and Gar Foreman treat Thibodeau now.
It doesn't. It just doesn't. And to bring that up, as Jeff Van Gundy did, you're overselling. You're trying too hard to make a point that isn't really valid. That has no bearing on the way Tom Thibodeau was treated by the front office. For my money, neither is Vinny Del Negro an apt comparison. Vinny wasn't a very good coach. Vinny was a guy that you couldn't trust down the stretch. It made odd decisions. If the front office was meddling in Vinny Del Negro's business, my sense is it probably was merited.
Okay, but can you understand, I'm just asking the question, where people could look and go, wow, they had issues with Phil. They had issues with
I would discount Phil.
They had issues with Skiles.
Okay.
They had issues with Vinny. Now they got issues with Thibs. Or is that typical in any franchise because coaches are hired to be fired?
My honest reaction to that, my first reaction to that is that's pretty typical in any franchise. The Scott Skiles example is similar because he and Tom Thibodeau are similar in styles. And it was after Skiles' fourth season, in the middle of his fifth, that he ran into problems, but they had a degree of success.
By the way, Skiles expected to get the Orlando job.
Yeah, I know.
So front runner.
I know. Because he's a good coach. And Tom Thibodeau will work again. And the Orlando rumor was floated out there yesterday with Tom Thibodeau's name attached to it by, I think, a Sports Illustrated writer. The Skiles thing, I mean, yeah, at the end they probably were involved and they did, you know, clash. It's inevitable in the NBA. Your shelf life of head coaches is very short, typically. I think Tom Thibodeau is still one of the top three coaches in the league.
I agree. I had him behind only Popovich, who's won five titles.
I can question things about his the way he manages his players and his bench and still think that. I also can say that the hope here is before anyone picks a side in this battle and people are trying to pair up, what do I believe, Pax and guard or go with Tibbs, is that cooler heads have to prevail. At some point, hopefully, Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't have to get involved.
Gets them all in the room
but he
and
can't.
Goes, let's fix this.
Because this is a team that can still win the East. This is a team that can still avoid the disaster they seem headed toward. And this is a group of guys, know them all, like them all. They can put aside the personal differences to make a professional judgment in the best interest of the Bulls. And if they do that, I think a lot of this doom and gloom and things will take care of itself. I just don't know if and when that'll happen.
All right, we've got to grab a timeout. James in Naperville, Kenneth, Chicago Heights, Ted, Melrose Park. They want to talk some football. We'll get to that. And Hot at Time, 28, checks in with an update on the Cubs and maybe James Shields. Be right back.